Blog Talk Radio.
Even in extreme conditions, nobody wants to wear a greasy mosquito spray. Try new Off Deep Woods Dry Repellent. The same proven protection of Off Deep Woods, but with a formula that feels dry, not oily or greasy like ordinary long-lasting repellents. Take comfort to the extreme. New Off Deep Woods Dry keeps bugs off. S.C. Johnson, a family company.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Yeah!
This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. I'm on air now by way of Lagos, Nigeria. Please dial in at 516-453-9133. You can press 1 to join the conversation. This is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today, we're going to be discussing overcoming trauma, how to be the best version of yourself. July is Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, and on my previous show, Dr. Muhammad mentioned that over 60% of the African-American population suffers from mental illness. I personally believe that this is because we haven't healed from the trauma of racism, and we also have trauma in our lives from a variety of other causes that exacerbate these symptoms. And this reminds me a little bit of Abraham Maslow, the psychologist. We as a group can't seem to move forward, and it's because of unhealed trauma, in my humble opinion. We don't know where to start. I'd say we need to start with ourselves. Abraham Maslow comes up with these hierarchy of needs, and he talks about some things that I think are pretty important. First, we have psychological needs, you know, water, food, air, shelter, sleep, things like that. And it seems like we can meet those needs to a point as a people. Here's where we get in trouble. We have personal security needs, employment needs, resources, and health property. A lot of us are in neighborhoods where we don't feel safe, or maybe we're in a family that we don't feel safe. Maybe we have friends that don't make us feel safe. The next need is love and belonging. We all want friendship, we all want family, we all want a sense of connection and intimacy. But we tend to bypass the first two needs to go to that need.
Hold on, Mo. You're fading in and out. Hold on, Mo. You're fading in and out there. We want to hear you loud and clear. I don't know what's going on where you are, but you're fading a little bit, so let's try to fix that mic there. Check one, check two.
Okay. Check one. Okay, we have love and belonging needs, and we all want friendship. We all want
friendship. Nope, Mo. Mm-mm. Nope, no, Mo. It's still fading in and out. Should I try to fix this mic? If you're on a speaker, whatever you want to come off of it, if you're not on it, go on it. It's fading. So we're going to make sure we can hear you loud and clear. We
might want to
go ahead and start
O?
The... Yeah, very much. And go ahead and start your transcript again so that way everybody understands what's going on.
Well, I was talking about Abraham Maslow and that the fact that we're discussing Minority Mental Health Awareness Month. On my previous show, Dr. Muhammad mentioned over 60% of the African-American population suffer from mental illness. I personally believe this because we haven't healed from the trauma of racism and slavery, and we have trauma in our lives from a variety of other causes that we commit towards ourselves, and that exacerbates the symptoms. So I was reviewing Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and some of those are psychological needs, you know, air, water, food, shelter, clothing, production, those basic needs. We can meet those.
Nah, Mo. You're still fading in and out. I don't know what's going on. So we're gonna go to a track real quick. So while Mo Garman fixes her wherever she is, in the room, whatever she's at, make sure we fix that. So we'll go into a track right now and we'll fix it. And we'll be back.
Product of CNN, the greatest in the darkness. I'm your host, Mo Warren. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dial in at 516-453-9133 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today, before I was so inconveniently interrupted by technical difficulties, we were discussing overcoming trauma. And we're discussing that this is July, it's Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, and on my previous show, Dr. Muhammad mentioned over 60% of the African-American population suffer from mental alone. I think that's a fantastic statistic in that we know what's wrong, and now we need to know how to fix it. I believe that this is because we haven't healed from the trauma of racism, and we also have trauma in our lives and a variety of causes that exacerbate these symptoms. I went through a list of Maslow's hierarchy down here again. Maslow is a American psychologist who developed a little bit of a system here that talks about different needs that we have to have met. And the first need is physiological needs, air, water, shelter, reproduction, clothing, food, things like that. We can meet those basic needs for the most part. Of course, there's homelessness and things like that, but mostly as a group, as a culture, we can meet that need. We don't meet the need of safety, personal security, employment, resources, health, property. Seems that we're struggling in this area as a group to have our own sense of identity and meet our own safety needs as a group. The next need is love and belonging. With this friendship, intimacy, and family, and a sense of connection, sometimes we seek to bypass the physical and the safety needs and because we want the intimacy from another person or a family member or a sense of connection or friendship. Next, we have esteem needs. We need respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength, and freedom. Those needs sometimes do get met, but we often find I find that sometimes people are lacking in that in other areas of their lives. They might have the best job and are doing very well for themselves and have a lot of status, but their home life is going a little bit crazy because they haven't met the other needs. Finally, self-actualization is where we all desire to be. We desire to become the most that one can be. And some of us are missing that mark, but we don't have to stay there, everybody. We can move forward and continue to grow, which is what this show is about. Overcoming trauma is not easy, but I've researched for the show, and I found the following steps that I think will help you. They helped me. They were on the WebMD, and I'm hopeful that they will help you. Before we begin, I want to say thank you to everyone for supporting me. I want to especially thank the ONE Dynasty family for all of their support, as well as the support I received from Brother O. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my point of view. I want to take a moment to mention again what my show, Breaking the Silence, is all about. It's about healing and creating a sacred space for men and women to deal with our stuff. That being said, I'd like to begin with a quote by Peter Levine. He says, "The paradox of trauma is that it has both the power to destroy and the power to transform and resurrect. Let me think about that while we move on. Again, this is WBN, this is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in, family, at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. I guess the first place we should begin is, what is trauma? A person's trauma is a highly impactful part of their life. Some feel it is an unbeatable force, but I'm here to tell you that healing from trauma is possible. I've been through it. It is possible. Mental health professionals can help guide the way, and there's plenty that a person can do to improve the symptoms at home. First, you have to take pressure off of yourself and accept healing from anyone who has anything to offer you. Trauma takes time. It takes persistence. It takes optimism. But someone achieves this goal, the reward is worth all the hard work. Many observers say that trauma differs in different people over time. A person can experience a childhood trauma from a significant history of intense sexual trauma, for example, abuse or neglect, or another person could have trauma that stems from a car accident, a serious car accident at that. Someone else might have a traumatic response to an unhealthy relationship, or even somebody might have a small trauma from failing a test, but maybe that test was something that was going to help them, you know, make or break kind of test. Whatever the cause, trauma is comprised of three parts. It's comprised of the event, the experience of the event, and the effect of the event moving forward. The three parts of trauma experience are circumstances that create the physical, mental, or emotional harm to a person or group. Some people may offer a more inclusive definition of traumatic events, but standards that a person must be or have witnessed a life-threatening event. Some of us live with life-threatening events on a daily basis in our neighborhood. Some of us stay there. Some of us live there, and we can't get away. The experience of the event itself, have you ever noticed people can experience the event in two completely different ways based on their context and history? Getting caught in a flood can be experienced as a trauma for one person, but another person might just say, that was the most adventurous thing that ever happened to me. Another event, the event on life, traumas leave lasting impressions on people involved. They can impact a person's mental health, physical health, and overall well-being. I think we have a caller now in the queue. Caller, number one, can you please tell me who you are and where you're calling from?
Hey, Mo, it's Jerry Petito. How are you, sweetie?
Hey, Jerry, how are you? Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm able to call in tonight. I was so happy. You know, your subject is going to resonate with so many people, you know, regardless of race, you know, any of that. It's just going to resonate because even me as a recovery coach and a nutritional health coach, I deal with people with trauma all the time. And trauma can come in so many different forms. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Minute to some people thinking, well, that's not so bad because wait to hear my story. But it is, you know what I mean? Any bit of trauma that someone experiences to them is huge. And the only thing that I can share is someone said something to me recently when I was doing an interview that I thought was very profound. I like to say KYW to everyone, know your worth. It begins with you. But this woman said someone told her years ago, every night erase the chalkboard. So,
wow.
Yes. And I am now going to be talking like that because to people that I help and all that, because we have a right to write everything down that's going on with us, right? and deal with
right.
it. And, you know, then every night erase it. You don't have to pretend it didn't exist or completely forget it, but erase it. Deal with that and then erase it.
Wow.
And
that's a wonderful idea.
Yep. I thought that was amazing. Erase the chalkboard. And,
thank
you know, it does start with the person, Mo, like you were saying. We've got to, at some point as an adult, take the initiative and responsibility to help ourselves with all the trauma we've experienced. And counseling is wonderful.
Yes, it is. You're one of the few people that understand me, and I love you for it.
And I love you. I do understand you. Are you kidding? You're amazing. You're beautiful, and I just love you.
Thank you so much, Jerry. When is your show?
Oh, boy. It's all right. So I will tell you, I'm not actually in my office. It's the same week as Hooney and Angela.
Okay.
So I'm the Tuesday, Angela's Wednesday, Hooney's the Thursday. But I'm doing a woman. I'm going to tell everyone about this real quick. Her name is Tootsie. Okay? I'm going to just say that for right now. She's an author. Now, as an Italian, you'll understand why this is a cool interview for me. She is the only female that was actually part of the mob. She's
Whoa.
Up in age now. She's been in jail, prison. Oh, yes. The only female in the United States that was part of the mob.
I'm sure she has some trauma stories to share.
Okay, and her book is incredible, so I can't wait for this interview.
Well, that's wonderful.
Well,
yeah, I think
but
you're on
again,
July 25th.
Okay,
I think
thank
that's
you.
Neat for you.
Thank you, girl.
thanks, brother, for that.
You know, all kidding aside, you know, you have one of the coolest shows because you have such passion when you speak, and I know you just want to help people, and that's what I just love so much about you.
Thanks so much. I'm thankful and grateful that you understand my message. Thanks for listening.
Hey, you're welcome, sweetie.
Have a good night. Again, this is a product of WBNN, and we have a track next by international DJ legend, Brother O.
That never were are parking cars and pumping gas. You can really breathe in San Jose. They've got a lot of space. There'll be a place where I can stay. I was born and raised in San Jose. I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. Fame and fortune is a magnet. It can pull you far away from home. Without a friend, you pack your car and ride away. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Do you know the way to San Jose? Never were a parking cars and pumps and gas. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Oh, do you know the way to San Jose? Can't wait to get back to San Jose.
much for that track, Brother O. That was Dionne Warwick, and she is a fellow Sagittarian like myself. So you know she's a special, wonderful person, and I just wanted to thank Brother O for that wonderful music. Okay, we're on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in, family, at 516-453-9133, and press 1 to join the conversation. We were discussing how we were talking about overcoming trauma. And first thing to do is acknowledge the event. If you've ever been through a highly stressful event or a series of events, you've been through traumatic experience, a feeling of helplessness, horror, and sometimes, in some cases, the challenges of a serious injury or a threat of one are common after these events. There are many ways you can help yourself through it, though. My point is, without acknowledging the significance of the situation, a person can't begin to heal. So you have to take time as needed to retrace the trauma and consider the situation's events. Undoubtedly doing so will be uncomfortable, but healing cannot come without some discomfort. Next, you don't want to isolate yourself. You want to reach out to your friends and family. If others have the same experience, talk to them. They might have something to say and have some feelings that you are, the same feelings that you're having. You need to open the lines of communication as soon as possible after your traumatic event. Easier said than done. I had a hard time with that stuff. I really found myself just wanting to be alone and not really wanting to deal with some things, but that's not the way to go. Take it when someone has been there. It's an important part of your recovery to talk to someone. Don't isolate. People who downplay the event may want to push away the support and the compassion from others. They might think that the trauma does not impact them or that they already have the skills to manage things effectively. Everyone has a family member that does that or knows somebody that does that or has a friend that does that, has experienced something trauma, and they just say, oh, it's okay, I'm cool, and that they're not cool. Trust me, they're not fine. Pushing away support can be a big mistake for people healing from trauma. Just because someone does well at the beginning of the trauma does not mean that they will do well at the end. For example, I had a friend of mine who his son passed traumatically. Everybody was around him at the funeral. We were all there and everything. And he said, I was the only person that called him back a month later. Now, to me, you know, I was really surprised by that answer, but I'm hopeful that I'll just keep everyone mindful that people, when they go through a trauma, they need you pretty much all the time, not every day, but just keep in touch. Asking for additional help and support is always a great idea. This support can come in the form of friends, family, your partner, your coworkers, mental health professionals, religious professionals, support group members, online support group members. The point is, you're not alone. We have caller 2 in queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Good evening, Mo. It's Genesis Amaris Kemp.
Hi, Genesis. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
Yes. So I was just calling in to just support you on this topic, and this is a really good topic, and it really just hits home with me. Given what I just went through, I just experienced a miscarriage, my husband and I, and it definitely was hard, and it was baby number 2, so one earthly baby and one heavenly baby, and when I found out about it, it was just horrible because I was going in to do my genetic testing so we could find out if it was a boy or girl. And apparently that day they had told me the baby had passed 2 weeks prior, but I didn't have any symptoms of a miscarriage or anything because it was my, you know, second pregnancy, didn't have any complications with my first pregnancy or anything. So I didn't have any bleeding, didn't have any cramping or anything like that. So the hardest thing about that trauma was knowing that my baby did not have a heartbeat 2 weeks prior and then having to wait another entire week before I could have surgery to remove the baby. So that was very traumatic. And
yes. Oh, Jennifer, so, I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk to you after the show just because you're a very wonderful host. You're a very loving and generous person. And, you know, you hate to see something like that happen to someone that's so nice and so generous.
Yeah, but one thing I want to say, not only for just you, but also the audience is, you know, sometimes you just never know what somebody is going through. And, you know, behind
Correct.
The scenes, like, I had a smile on my face just so I could get through it because, you know, I do have a daughter that's depending on me and everything else going on. But then, you know, mentally, emotionally, and physically, I'm like, dang, when is this Job season going to be over given the losses that I had since 2020, starting with my dad and then both of my grandmothers, my uncle, my cousin, and then my best friend's dad, all back-to-back, one after other. And I was like, you know what, God, like, I can't question you, but I just have to figure out how to deal with it. But it's not always conducive and, you know, pretty. And I did tell someone, you know, I just had to have a come-to-Jesus moment and just say, God, I'm upset. And I'm mad as hell given, you know, the circumstances because I just didn't get it. How can someone who tries to live right, these things happen, but someone who, quote unquote, is not doing what we think
right.
is right, like murder, robbery, and all this stuff. It just seems like they're just being blessed and blossoming. And I think that could also play with someone who's already going through something traumatic, no matter what type of trauma they're dealing with, because it comes in various forms and fashion.
Yes, it does. Yes, it really does. You said that very well. And sometimes there are people that suffer in silence, you know, and, you know, the whole point of the show is to bring it up to the surface so we can deal with it. You know, I would have never known what you were going through if you hadn't brought it up, you know.
Mm-hmm. I just felt compelled to share it, given the topic, because you just never know if there's another woman listening that went through a miscarriage,
exactly.
but she suffered in silence and didn't have anyone to talk about. And when I shared it, like now that I'm sharing it, some women had said, oh, my gosh, thank you for sharing it. I actually experienced that, too. But I didn't have anyone to talk to about it because some women, you know, they've never experienced it, so they don't know what to
exactly.
say to a woman
that
has.
Exactly.
Or
not knowing what to say.
Or,
it's often a deterrent, yes.
Yes. You understand because you're in the field and, you know, you do certain things. And then some women who've been through it, they're like, oh, my gosh, they want a baby so bad. But then someone else who has a baby is like, you don't understand because you already have something that I want that my body just has not allowed me to have yet. And I say yet because those rainbow babies do come despite, you know, losing a baby.
Yes, I have seen women lose one and then gain three. So you never know what God has prepared for you. You know, you just don't know what He has prepared for you. So I'm praying
for
you.
You know,
and I'm hopeful.
It's funny that, you know, I have to come on right now for this, Genesis, because this is very personal. You know, my mother, may she travel on in peace with God, had four miscarriages before she had me. And the doctors told her that she'll never have a baby. My name is Olasky, and I'm alive. Enough said.
Thank you for that, Brother O. It's always a miracle, isn't it? There's always a miracle around the corner. So you are in my thoughts. You're in our prayers. When is your next show, Genesis?
So my next show is July. No, sorry, August 8th. We're in June. No, August 7th, because it's Monday. Monday,
okay.
August 7th.
Okay.
Brother O would have had to come back on and correct me.
Okay. All right,
but
I'll be sure I tune in.
I'll be on the podcast, my podcast, so you can reach out to me on the podcast and check out content that I'm putting out there.
I would love to.
Thanks so much for calling in, Genesis.
My pleasure. Y'all have a good evening.
You too. We have a track next by international DJ legend, Brother O. That track, Brother O. This is the product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Kai Multimedia. We're talking about overcoming trauma today, and we've heard some people call in and give us their perspective on what they've been going through and how they've been dealing with things and coping. And hopefully the show is touching someone tonight, and that's the goal. Back to what I was saying about trauma, we were saying that
you know, you can seek professional help. Some people don't want to do that, but I can't stress that I can't stress enough that the stress that comes from a traumatic event can be crippling. Not everyone needs professional help. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it does help. And if you don't go to a professional, go to your religious leader or religious professional or a mental health professional or someone, because the sadness, the grief, the fear, the depression, it can take hold of you when you least expect it. Your feelings in the first month after the event are very severe, and they can interfere with regular life. They can interfere with your activities of daily living, you know, getting up in the morning, you know, your whole morning routine, your whole daily routine shifts because you start remembering that trauma. So you need to find my recommendation is to find a mental health expert or a religious professional that can help you in the area that you need. You could also join a support group, talking over what you're going through with others who've had the same experience or are still going through it can be very helpful after a trauma. Not only will groups like this lift you up, they can give you tips on how to deal with what's happening. Your doctor or mental health expert can point you to local support groups, or you can find one online. I do say if you find one online, you want to read the comments about those groups first before you join. I wouldn't just join any group. Also, you need to learn to face the situation and not avoid the situation. As tempting as it might be to ignore or forget that event of the trauma, a key ingredient in the recovery is learning to be okay with your memories and the things that trigger them without trying to avoid them. Facing your feelings head on is important because you want to be able to take care of them in the way that helps you move forward. Exercise. That's like my favorite thing to do after I experience a trauma. I think I've spoken a couple times about the loss of my nephew to gun violence in Philadelphia. That was extremely traumatic for me. Very sudden, very traumatic. And if it weren't for doing some things to get out of the house, I don't know what I would have done. So I do recommend getting out and moving. Experts say it's one of the most effective ways to handle the effects or after effects of trauma. Deep breathing and stretching and walking are all really good choices. In Philadelphia, we have a couple of great places to go. You can go Kelly Drive. You can go to Forbidden Drive. You can go for a bike ride. Do something. But don't force things, though. If you're tired, it's okay to rest. Just don't get stuck there. You need to also practice self-care. Someone accepting support from others is crucial, and being able to tolerate supporting themselves is essential. Practicing effective self-care can help someone prioritize their needs and focus on recovery from trauma, and that's what you want. Self-care will appear differently for different people, but it will all center around the theme of the person looking after their own needs and wants. Self-care can be done in moderation. It can provide the opportunity for healing as it balances the pain of the trauma. For example, you can practice emotional self-care by taking a hot bath, listening to some music, watching a movie that you love that brings back fond memories. You can get a massage. You can do some Reiki. You can eat a nice meal. You can treat yourself to your favorite snack. Those are some things that you can do to deal with trauma. I'm going to talk a little bit more about them in a second. But this is a product of WBNN. Please dial in, family, at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Now, you're probably asking, I just mentioned Reiki, and hey, it can help with trauma. The Reiki techniques help those from acute trauma as it sort of imbalance the body's natural ability to heal itself. It's not a miracle thing. It's a form of healing touch, therapeutic touch. It's a gentle, non-intrusive form of energy work that reduces anxiety and stress. Reiki helps trigger the body's mind, body and mind's natural restorative abilities. Massage, believe it or not, can also help with trauma. It provides relief from physical, emotional, and mental stress, and it decreases the level of depression, anxiety, and irritability, and other symptoms associated with trauma exposure. I was reading an article about that just today, and they've actually done some studies to show that massage really does help with trauma. It's not just something that people are just coming up with off the cuff. It really does help. It addresses muscles, muscle groups, tendons, and soft tissues, and loosens up all those tight areas and works out the knots that you've created while you've been worried or stressed out. It helps your nervous system regulate itself to move out of the constant state of hypervigilance, which just means you're just highly alert. You're looking for the next shoe to drop, and you're releasing tension brought on by the state of flight or flight. Acupuncture is also another thing that can help with trauma relief. It's a part of traditional Chinese medicine, and with a trained practitioner, it is designed to restore balance within the body's energy system as well. That, too, is proven scientifically to help with grief and trauma and pain relief. So those are some things that can help. Has anyone out there tried this? If so, call in and let's hear how it all worked out for you. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. We have a track next by international DJ legend, Brother O.
Should share my pride.
Hello, we have caller 3 in queue. Caller 3, can you tell us who we are, who you are, and where you're calling from?
Mo, how are you doing this evening? This is Terrace Strength.
Hey, Terrace, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. I'm really enjoying this show. First of all, my prayers go out to Genesis Amaris with her child.
Thank you for that.
My prayers go out to her family and just hang in there. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry that what she's going through. I'm really enjoying this topic. I have a question for you. This is a great show as usual. Why do you think that so many people, or why does it appear that so many people just go through life and not really want to deal with their trauma?
I think that
now,
we
there are,
many
who do,
mm-hmm,
but just
mm-hmm.
it, many of us, we're just in such resistance to deal with our
mm-hmm.
emotional, psychological trauma.
It hurts.
Why do you think that is?
It hurts, Sarah. It just hurts to feel it. So we'd rather anesthetize ourselves with food or with drinking, or maybe some of us do other things recreationally, but we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to feel those emotions. So we eat it away, or we talk it away with other people, or we do other things. You know, we distract ourselves from dealing with what it is that we really need to deal with. I think I told you before, I took like an 8-year hiatus and just got in and healed after a really bad relationship that was traumatic. And I needed that. But not many people will walk that path and say, look, I why did it take 8 years? It took me that long to realize that I did not want to bring that into any relationship that I was having after that. I chose that. That's my path, my journey. I didn't say it had to be anybody else's. But not everybody wants to heal. They'd rather stay in a place of martyr, or maybe they want to stay in a place of denial, because they don't want to deal with that pain. They don't want to change.
It's interesting because, you know, if we get hurt physically, you know,
mm-hmm.
we get rushed to the hospital,
right.
we go to the doctor, and it happens pretty much immediately. I got to go get some help. It's hurting.
Exactly.
It's pain. But when it comes to emotional and psychological stuff, we try to act like it didn't happen or it doesn't happen.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
It's an entirely different response to it.
You're right. It's an invisible scar that no one wants to rip the Band-Aid off of. Nobody wants to touch the topics. I know I talk about some topics like this, but I think we have to. We have to start having these conversations, these difficult conversations, and bring these things up. And we have to learn to be uncomfortable before we can become comfortable. We have to
heal
like
somehow,
from that.
Like somehow it seems like we all think that something's wrong with us, or we're weak, or
mm-hmm.
we're not strong. But we don't do that. Things happen to us physically. It's just very interesting how that is. And usually because of that, it goes on for years and years and years and causes all of this drama and more trauma when we could just move towards healing, and we just really don't want to do that. So I just wanted to ask you that question because it just seems to be, you know, what many of us do.
Well, I can only speak from a black perspective as a black woman, and some of this is coming about because of the Tuskegee experiments too. We have as a cultural group have a fear of the medical profession, and I was in the medical profession for years, so I can speak about this, but. You know, we don't want to go in there because we don't know what's going to happen. Speak for other groups, again, and I'm not saying that some other things haven't happened to other groups. I can only speak for myself and my group, but that is an issue, and that's another reason why we don't get treated, because we say to each other, remember what happened when we went in for that, and nobody told us what was going on. So we have an innate fear of going into the healthcare system, and it doesn't matter what color you are. As far as who the practitioners are that are treating us, we literally have a fear as a culture of going into the medical profession for help, other than emergency help.
Okay.
I hope that helps.
I guess that sheds some light on it. You know, I don't know, but it, I guess it sheds some light. You know.
Terrence, when is your next show? You are such a mess. When is your next show?
I'm not. I think my show is. I heard Genesis says hers was the 7th. I mean, hers was the 8th. Which I thought my next show was August 1st. It's either 1st or the 7th. I'm thinking it's the 1st. And I do add it, so I'm not sure. I have to ask Brother O for sure. Who my show is.
Okay.
Well, your show is the 1st, and that's okay. You know what I mean? You know, it is what it is. Thank you, y'all.
Okay, all right. I mean, Genesis is the 31st then, right? Okay, all right. I know I come after first, so. Thank you, Brother.
So thanks for calling in, Terrence. Oh,
all right.
My goodness. I'm up here laughing. We're talking about a serious topic, and he got me laughing. Anyway, basically, the next step that you want to do is listen to your body if you do have trauma. You want to listen to your body and your mind. They will tell you what to do to heal. The problem is, like Terrence was just mentioning, we don't take the time to listen to ourselves and to listen to our bodies and to listen and see what it is that we need. If you listen, you'll see you might be craving something. You might be craving fruit. You might be craving greens or something leafy and with some vegetables. You might need to rest when you get a chance. You need to do things that make you happy. Work toward a regular sleep schedule where you go to bed and wake up at about the same time each day and each night. Read. You know I'm always talking about books, y'all. So read. I read myself through healing. I didn't really speak to someone professionally all the time. I spoke to someone professionally some of the time, but the rest of the time I was doing reading on my own. So read. Do something with your friends. Go for a nice walk. Watch a ball game. Watch a basketball game. Go to a play. Whatever makes you feel good, take the time to treat yourself. But that doesn't mean you don't have to do the work to work on your trauma. You also want to focus on physical health. When your mental health is under assault from trauma, a person needs to devote energy and resources to their psychological well-being. Still, they cannot neglect their physical health. So how do you feel physically can very much impact how you feel mentally. So if you feel bad mentally and you just sit down and down all this junk food, you're going to feel like junk. You're going to feel like that. But if you feel bad and you eat healthier foods, you might not feel the same way. You might still have some emotional feelings, but they say you are what you eat. So you might want to improve your physical health as a person can focus on their diet, physical activity, and sleep schedule. Eating healthy foods will give someone energy to find motivation to accomplish their goals, and exercise offers many, many, many mental health benefits, including improved mood and lower anxiety. Just going for a walk around the block can really help. Restful sleep can restore the mind and recharge a person's battery for the next day. Next, I'm going to touch a subject that a lot of people don't want to touch, along with trauma. We need to avoid alcohol, and it's okay to have a drink, but it's not okay to drink to excess to the point where you pass out and you're not feeling anything. That's what I'm talking about as far as alcohol. I'm not saying don't drink anything. We're all adults here, but I am saying it's a drink to bring on sleep or to take off the edge is one way to show to choose to go through stress over traumatic events. They're trying to numb the emotions and forget things. It might feel like it's working on the short term, but it can do damage in the long run. The problem is if stress continues, alcohol or drug use may actually come out of alcohol use, what could lead to mental and physical problems and long-term dependence. Traumas are intensely negative experiences. I don't know any traumas that are positive. And since the impact is so significant, people frequently look for quick and easy solutions to feel better quick. Because of this, some resort to alcohol and other substances to cope. Now, people, I'm not saying anything about, you know, people that like to have medical marijuana or things like that. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. There's nothing wrong with having alcohol. I'm talking about having things like that to excess in order to cope. That's the problem. Overspending or shopping excessively or binge eating, indulging in unsafe sex, overworking, exercising to an extreme level, all of those are things that you should not be doing. So you want to get back into your routine after a trauma. You want to get back to your regular life. You want a goal for those trying to get past their stress of trauma is to return to your day-to-day activity and your day-to-day schedule as soon as you possibly can. You want to get your groove back and help reestablish a sense of normalcy and regain a sense of control over your life. You want to think back to the pre-trauma life that you had and reflect on the typical routine and how the schedule worked. You want to return to the old habits that worked, that made you feel grounded, that made you feel safe. There's always room for change and improvement, but returning to the familiar, everyday activity can maintain a healthy process. Next, you might want to fix the little things. You want to take the time to resolve small conflicts in life so they don't build up and add stress. So maybe you have a loved one that you have a little tiff with and it turns into this big thing. You want to fix it before it turns into you not speaking to your family member for 8 years because, you know, they took your favorite candy dish that belonged to your grandmother, something silly. Whatever the task is, you want to resolve it and fix it because that's not really the issue. The issue is really the trauma. You're just kind of taking it out on that other person. You want to ease the stress of a traumatic event by stepping back and taking a look at your life and concentrating on what's important. You want to strengthen bonds with your family, with your friends, with your community. And you want to reassess some personal goals and come up with a plan to reach them. Come up with a bucket list. You want to volunteer and give a little more time to charity. All these things can help you overcome trauma because you can meet people that are going through or have gone through those same things. They will help you. You'll meet people along the way that will help guide your path. The other thing you can do is journal. Some people benefit from journaling. This is a practice of journaling about trauma. It can help the process of healing from trauma, and it's great because you get to go back and write it and rewrite it and figure out what happened and why it happened. If it was a car accident, for example, or it was difficult for me to write initially about what happened with my nephew, but it did help. It helped me process the situation. There's no right or wrong way to journal. You should feel free to experiment with options that suit your needs. Journaling can involve extended exploration into your thoughts and your feelings. I know I was very angry with the person who killed my nephew, and I had a chance to get that out in a therapeutic way. You want to identify your trauma triggers, and journaling can only be a brief reflection of the daily events, but they are a reflection of what you went through for that day. For people new to the practice of journaling, it can be uncomfortable, it can be unconfusing, and it can be like it can feel like an unhealthy skill, but it's a very healthy skill. It can make your symptoms seem worse instead of better because you're actually writing them out, but you're getting them out, which is what you need to do. So if you're not talking to anyone, for example, at least you're journaling and you're getting it out. So you want to stick with journaling and can give someone a better insight and understanding of their life and their needs and their trauma. So we have a track next by international DJ legend, Brother O. Thank you for that track, Brother O. In closing, I'm going to tell you all to try a few other things like meditation or music therapy. Just don't rush the process to successfully heal from trauma. A person should never try to rush the process or take shortcuts or ignore their problems completely. Healing is a process. It will take time. It will take patience. And it will take understanding from people in your life and from yourself. You have to give yourself a break. Now we move on to Ngozi time.
Wonderful Dionne Warwick tonight, and of course, outstanding performance tonight with Hephaestus tonight with Miss Mo Garman and Breaking the Silence. And she talks about overcoming trauma. And of course, we want to have our wonderful prayers go out to our fellow host, Jesus Marsh Kemp, who aforementioned the loss of her child through miscarriage. And something that we, you know, Jesus and I dealt with together. And had some great, great, great understanding in that matter. And I'm so glad she was able to be transparent tonight and come on this outstanding Beverly Nation to share that. And to her husband and her, you send our deepest condolences of the loss of her child. And, of course, tomorrow night we're off, and we come back on with, of course, the 2022 WBNN Host of the Year, Dr. Chinchilla J, our fifth reigning commissioner, and News Forum, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time on Sunday, on the marvelous Beverly Nation. And, of course, WBNN has advertising to go through time multimedia, Pinterest, Instagram, and, of course, the wonderful and outstanding, you know, Facebook. Ola Dele Malewi Ngozi, at that. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight, Ola Dele Dying Goes with Maya, gmail.com, I am. Your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dele Malewi Ngozi, saying good night, good luck to all the folks out there on Force Radio, supports and constipation. We're on Threads now, as well as Google. And, of course, now, class of 2022, Miss Mo Garman, take us home.
I'd like to end this night with a quote by Brené Brown. What we don't need in the midst of struggle is a shame for being human. Don't be ashamed to ask for help, family. I'll see you in 4 weeks. Have a good night.